Jason Lockenfora, NFL Insider, is brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at your Toyota giant. Country Hills Toyota. Get 0% on every Toyota, plus $0 down and no payments until March 2021 OAC. Visit the giant, Country Hills Toyota.
Sports Drive at 5 is underway, and yes, we are kicking it off with a conversation with NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Week 11 in the NFL is underway, 28-21, the final score. Seattle moves to 7-3 with a win over Arizona last night. Your impressions, Jay, of that NFC West showdown from last night. How did you see Week 11 kicking off?
I kind of felt like that was must-win territory for the Seahawks or something close to it. When you start looking at how jumbled that picture is becoming there, and you don't want to head into the holiday season heading in the wrong direction as a football team. And they certainly had their hiccups recently, and the defense, it kind of is what it is. They played really, really well last night. I think Kyler Murray being banged up had a lot to do with it. But Carlos Dunlap looked like an impact acquisition, and the defense managed to get off the field. And, it wasn't a first team to 45 wins type game. Russell Wilson could stay within himself, didn't have to force anything. They clearly wanted to establish Metcalf early, and they did, coming off a game the week before where they didn't get enough of him going. I don't know that I buy Seattle's defense all of a sudden, but I think those are two very evenly matched teams. I mean, if they played each other 9 times, I think somebody wins 5 and somebody wins 4. And now they have the split, which Seattle needed for tiebreaker purposes. You couldn't afford to be swept by those guys. And, yeah, that thing will probably go down to the end between those two teams and the Rams.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you. Like, you've got Seattle now at 7-3. Arizona drops to 6-4. You've got the LA Rams at 6-3. Do you have a feel one way or the other, or an opinion one way or the other, who the best team in that division is?
I don't. I really don't. They all kind of have their flaws and warts. I think they'll probably beat up on each other pretty good. There's a lot of absolute superstar players involved in those three teams. When you start talking about, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, and I think Russell's pretty special, and I think Russell's good for about 10 wins a year, and that's kind of what he's proven, no matter what was around him. So I guess I lean to them a little bit if the defense can make a modicum of a progression. The Rams defense is much better than I thought it would be, and I'd buy them now. I mean, they've done it long enough that I think the sample size says they're not too shabby. I don't know about that offense and its limitations, if it can carry them quite far enough. And the Cardinals, they're a little thin at corner, and if they had Chandler Jones, I would lean to them. But I think they're really kind of having to come up with some different ways to get to the quarterback. But I just don't know if they quite have enough individual talent doing that to end up persevering.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go you one further. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? Like,
I have no idea.
It's just a bunch of, decent teams, isn't it?
Yeah. I couldn't stand on the table and bang for anybody. I mean, some people in the league who I talk to quite frequently were trying to tell me it was definitely Arizona. And it still may prove to be, but I don't think anybody is a juggernaut. I just don't. I don't buy Green Bay's defense. The whole NFC East is a joke. Could it be Tampa or New Orleans? It could. I mean, we're looking at, maybe a month at Taysom Hill. I don't know how that's going to go. I feel like Tampa Bay is about to really hit stride, but I've felt that in the past, and it didn't quite materialize. So I don't have a prevailing, overwhelming feeling about any of those teams.
Mm-hmm. And I'm exactly there with you. Like, it's tough to – It's tough to pinpoint and hammer on the table who the best team is right now in the NFC. There's no doubt about it. Jason Lockenfour is with us. He's our NFL insider, CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. I think that your columns every week are must-read on CBSSports.com, but I think that the one that you published a couple of days ago about the Patriots and this Pro Bowl loophole that they tried to exploit might be the most fascinating one I've ever read. Can you tell us what the Patriots attempted to do?
Yeah, I mean, the teams are responsible for submitting their eligible Pro Bowl players to the NFL Management Council, and then they put together the online ballot and put it up at NFL.com. So somebody alerted me last Monday night or Tuesday night, hey, you should go check out the Pro Bowl ballot. And I'm like, yeah, no thanks. I kind of despise the Pro Bowl. Like, it's the whole process is a sham, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you should go look at the list of Cornish, because there's 74 dudes on there, and the guy leading the league in interceptions isn't one of them. And I'm like, what? So I check it out, and then I'm like, well, that's odd. And then I reach out to the league, and I'm like, why did you guys leave J.C. Jackson off the ballot? And they're like, we don't put the ballot together. I'm like, yeah, you do. It's on your website. They're like, no, we just take the list that we get from teams and we slam them together and put them up there. I'm like, so it's the team. And they're like, yeah. Well, and then some other people started figuring out as well. J.C. Jackson's a really good emerging corner. He's a restricted free agent. I'm sure Bill Belichick doesn't want him to get any more attention than he's already getting for leading the league in interceptions and having a pick in five straight games. So they submitted the McCourty brothers and, you know, Gilmore and a couple other guys and didn't list him. Now the league ended up intervening and putting him on the ballot anyway. But, I mean, Belichick's going to Belichick. They're always looking for a loophole. They've always got an angle. And in this case, it will be interesting to see if anyone does target him as for an offer sheet as a restricted free agent, because he's playing really well. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, he's good because Gilmore's on the other side, taking away the other team's best player. Well, Gilmore hasn't played in, like, seemingly 3 or 4 weeks, and Jackson's still getting it done.
The Minnesota Vikings have the Dallas Cowboys. That looks like a very winnable game for Minnesota this week. It was a horrible start to the season. There's no doubt about it. But have they gotten things back on track for you?
I'm sorry, who?
The Vikings.
Oh, yeah. They had 15 draft picks, and they, you know, came into the year and had some obvious holes, but were, I guess, kind of trying to cling to the ones that brought them there, and it became clear with that slow start that they had to get younger, they had to get faster, and in reality, you know, they were at a real cross, like sort of a cross in the road there. Like, are we really going to, like, we just extended our quarterback and our running back and our head coach and our GM, and we can't beat anybody. And, you know, are we going to just stick with this group? They traded Ngakoue. They were willing to make other trades. They didn't materialize. And they started playing more and more of their rookie class, and they're getting really strong returns. They reconfigured their offensive line. That helped. It's still not ideal, but they got some guys there who can run block some and road grade a little bit, and Ezra Cleveland has helped them, although he's banged up now. DJ Wanham, their fourth-round pick out of South Carolina, has given them more production than Yannick Ngakoue did for a fraction of the cost, and he's been closing out games with sacks and strips. They've just kind of decided to run the offense through Dalvin Cook. And when they do throw the ball, the emergence of Jackson at receiver has opened some things up for Thielen and allowed Thielen to do what he does best, which is be a great number two. But he's not a pure number one. In the first month of the season, as Jackson was getting his legs under him, Thielen wasn't, you know, a number one. I still feel like there's more they could do with the tight end, Irv Smith. But with that other stuff in place, Cousins has stopped throwing the ball all over the place. And they've got him back to being a game manager, and he's not turning it over as much. And you look at their schedule, and they could go on a sneaky little run there. I don't entirely rule it out, which I would have thought was completely implausible 5 or 6 weeks ago.
We talked about the NFC West a little earlier, and we mentioned three teams, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals, kind of the forgotten team in there, the San Francisco 49ers, who were in the Super Bowl a year ago. But they're sitting there at 4-6. They've had their injury issues. They're on bye this week. Is there anything that San Fran needs to target or address or figure out? Is there anything they can address during their bye week to try and turn things around?
I don't really think so. No, the bottom fell out there from an injury standpoint. I don't think they're going to be very viable down the stretch. I mean, they'll Garoppolo being on the shelf for a while here, they'll get to look at Mullins and Beathard and figure out if there's one of those two they want to keep around. If Garoppolo does play next month, that'll give them a little more evidence towards the quarterback decision. But look, they might bring Garoppolo back, but it won't be without looking and exploring a whole bunch of different options via trade or free agency potentially or the draft. I just don't think they're going to really be able to hold up. The offensive line is not very good, and I don't think it's going to get better as the season goes on. If they get Raheem Mostert back, he obviously was an absolute dervish for them. When he was healthy, he just was rarely healthy, but no Kittle, no Solomon Thomas, no Bosa. It just keeps adding up. Richard Sherman hasn't been on the field. They're saying maybe week 12. I mean, whatever. It's not going to make a difference at this point. No, I think sometimes that Super Bowl curse is real.
We're chatting with Jason Lockenfora, our NFL insider, CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, joins us Tuesdays and Fridays on the program. How you feeling about your best bets? It's a weird week.
Not feeling so good? I do it because it's an obligation. This week I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, oh, I had a terrible week last week. Let me pick even more games as the best bet, which, I have been saying, well, I'll just pick two and then I'll have a 2-0 and then I'll get hot. No, I have not been able to establish any mojo whatsoever. If anything, fade me.
So you went with four games this week, right? So fade
all. Yeah, I took it up a notch, yeah. Double down on my pain.
What's coming up on Sunday? Give us a little bit of preview of the NFL today, this weekend.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good slate of games this weekend. Obviously, Baltimore and Tennessee is our big national game. So we will have a fair amount of chatter focused on that. That game in particular. We've got the Chiefs and the Raiders as well, which is a big matchup for us. And I don't think most of the guys on the set, judging from our production call, think the Raiders have much of a chance of pulling off the season sweep here. But I'll let Phil and Boomer and Coach and, Nate tell you guys themselves on Sunday. And I'll have an update on the Falcons and Texans coaching and GM searches and a few other tidbits as well.
Coming up on Sunday on CBS as part of the NFL Today. He is our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Jason Lockenfora, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider, is brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at your Toyota giant, Country Hills Toyota. Get 0% on every Toyota, plus $3,000 on your best trade-in value and free fuel up to $2,000. Visit the giant, Country Hills Toyota.